chapter 7. And those who don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. You need a Bible. Okay. Let's start. There's some Bible story we're so familiar with that almost lose a punchline. And we no longer get excited about it. And we don't even find an important point from the story. Case in point is the Noah's Ark and the Great Flood. Of course, we know that Noah's Ark is, we consider it as a floating zoo. Nothing more, nothing less. Fancy dancy, nothing there. However, we have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. What do Noah's Ark and Great Flood have to do with us? We must ask ourselves. And the second question would be, what does God want me to learn from it? I see two things. Number one is God's judgment against the wicked people, violent people, and those who are going against the word of God. Second thing I find is the deliverance for righteous. God will deliver those who are righteous even though he judges the rest of people. We'll start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you seeking your face and to hear from you. It is not about the man who speaks, it is the Holy Spirit who is speaking to our heart. Let us not just take it as another piece of Bible knowledge, but let us take it as our life guideline. Let's print in our heart, chisel in our heart, that we may obey you and bring glory to you, and we may not be the one of those wicked and violent people, but the righteous people that will be delivered by you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 7, please. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, please. Underline that for me, please. Come into the ark. You and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation, you shall take with you seven each of the each every clean animal, and male and female, two each of the animals that are unclean, male and his female. Also seven each of the bird of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth, face of all the earth. For after seven more days, underline seven more days, please, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. I will destroy from the face of our earth all living things that I have made. I actually underline come into the ark. He didn't say go into the ark. That means he is already in the presence inside of the ark. He said, come into my presence. That's what he's doing to us all the time. Come into me. He's inviting all of us. Amen. Some people will deny the invitation. Some people will turn down the invitation. And they will suffer. Okay, I asked you on the line also 7 days. What's the reason for the 7 days? If you notice, they are inside of the ark. Now the Noah's family is inside of the ark and doors open for 7 days. And there's not a drop of rain for 7 days. Door is open, yet people are not coming. Same case in point here again. People receive the invitation from God. Some of you guys may not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And you will hear, I guarantee you, you will hear the invitation from God. Amen. And you will walk out the door. Some of you will. You're like these people who will mock at the Noah's, the righteous people, and they will say, I don't need this. I don't need God because I can make my way to heaven. Is it true? We'll find out. These people deny the invitation of God, deny the hands of God, but they want the benefit of God. Would it happen? No, it won't. Guess how many people showed up? None. For 7 days, the invitation was given, doors open, yet they were not accepting God's invitation. And as I said before, they were mocking the Noah's obedience. Verse 5. Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old, and flood water were on the earth. So the Noah and his son, his wife, and his son's wife went into the ark because of the water of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of bird and everything, of that everything that creep on the ground, earth. And two by two they went into the ark of God, ark of Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the water of the flood was on the earth. In the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month and 17th day of the month, on that day all foundation of the great deep were broken up. Underline that, please. All the foundation of the great deep were broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. Underline that too, please. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. What is the historical and scientific evidence for the great flood? I don't think I can explain to you better than the two gentlemen who wrote this book. This book is known as Genesis Flood. Do we have the information? Good. Genesis Flood by the Dr. Henry M. Morris and John Wycombe. Dr. John Wycombe is a theological doctor, and he is a professor of Grace Theological Seminary. And Henry M. Morris, he's a PhD from the University of Minnesota, and he's a professor of hydraulic engineering and the chairman of the Department of Civil Engineering in the Virginia Polytechnic Institute. These two gentlemen are very much qualified to write a book about the Genesis flood. And they went through the historical and scientific evidence, and they found many things in their own book. And the conclusion is this flood is universal all around the world. And it is a great catastrophe, and there's a historical evidence. So if you want to know more about the great flood, please take a look at get this book. You can find it from the library, or you can go into the Amazon.com and get it. God never had a problem getting the animals from all over the world and two by two. Animals don't have a problem who knowing that who is the master is, but the people do have a problem knowing who the master is. So in other words, the people are the most stupid to compare against the animals. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah is right before Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Bless you. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. It reads, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." Animals will obey God. Nature will obey God, but people will not. That's why we have so many problems. By nature, I do not like rain. As a matter of fact, I despise rain. Some of you guys think that rain is such a soothing thing. Well, have at it. I'm glad that we are not living in the Washington State or Oregon State, which has rain every day, just about. And in southern Arizona, we don't have a whole lot of rain. My idea of water from heaven, it should be the pipe coming down from heaven, directly to the earth and with the irrigation system. Sprinkle will be just fine. But not rain. I don't like rain, as I said. Think about it. We don't understand of what it's like to have a 40 days and 40 nights heavy, stormy rain. That's a lot of water. And where this all this water is coming from? Remember, at the beginning, when we studied the Word, at the Genesis chapter 1, and there was a vapor blanket around, protecting people on earth from the UV ray. And also, this is a vapor around in like a greenhouse situation, keeping everything a whole lot better, younger situation. Now, all of a sudden, God is opening the window of heaven and let those water vapor to come down as a liquid, status. If that's not bad enough, that's a lot of water, and we have water coming from under the ground. You may say, what water under the ground? Well, in case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of water tables around under the earth. We pump the water out to use it as from the residential, commercial, industrial, agricultural usage. There's a lot of water underneath. Here's the surface, and there's a kind of empty space that the water gets sipped into the ground, and there's stay in the water table. God broke this open. How did He break it open? What makes you think? How do you think He broke it? Earthquake, right? When the earthquake happened from the land, earthquake happened from the sea. What kind of thing happened? Tidal waves. Remember tsunami? December 26th, Indonesia had a tsunami, two of them. It just about destroyed the whole country. Folks, this is not just one area, it was all around the world. Can you imagine the amount of the water and the tidal waves coming all the way across to the land? It is sinking all the way around. Gigantic tidal wave followed by this kind of eruption, and that made Indonesia tsunami look like some child play. Notice the 40 days and 40 nights. Whenever there is this kind of number in Bible, it's important for us to notice. 40 in Bible, it signifies the testing and the purification to bring something new and something significant. Let's continue verse 13. On the very same day, the Noah and the Noah's son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three wives of his son with them entered the ark. And they and every beast after its kind, the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of its every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, all the flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them. The Lord shut him in. Underline that, please. The Lord shut him in. Noah did not shut the door to anyone's salvation or anyone's rescue. God did. We are not the one who is going to disqualify somebody's salvation. God does. Now, you may say, well, if that's the case, I will never make it to heaven. No, God shut it in, shut you out because you decide not to get in. Because of your stubbornness, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you chose not to follow Him, that is your own choice. Amen. If you choose to do it that way, all the way to the last breath, that's your choice and God shut you out. As simple as that. How do I know that God wants you to be in? Because He said in the Word, God so loved the world, everyone in the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him. It did not say those who are good looking, that means I'm out. Those who are tall and handsome, I'm never get there. Those who are intelligent, forget it. I will not make it. That's the case. A lot of us will not make it. But He said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then the following verse says, man, turn away from God because they like the darkness. They choose to stay in the darkness. That's a stubbornness. For those people, God shut them out because He knows what they're going to do. Verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The water prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and at all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, the birds and the cattle, and the beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. all in whose nostril had the breath of spirit of life, and all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, and both man and cattle, creeping things, and the bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the water prevailed on the earth 150 days. Literally, hundreds of people's groups around the world have their own accounts of the great flood. And how come they have the account of the great flood? Because all the people around the world came out from the three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And we're going to study more about them in chapter 9 and chapter 10. God literally started the earth all over again with these three people. I'll give you a few lists. Shamukubo tribe of New Guinea, and Athapascan Indian of America, and Papago Indian of Arizona, Brazilian tribe, Peruvian Indian, African, one of the African tribes I cannot pronounce, native of Greenland, native of Hawaiian Island, Hindus, Chinese, Egyptian, Greek, and Persian, Australian natives, and Welsh, Celt, and Siberian, Lithuanians. They all have their own account of a great flood. You might say, well, that's a myth. This is the things that happen when you total them up. 95% says sole cause of the catastrophe is by flood. 70% of attribute to survival to the boat. 66% says that disaster is due to man's wickedness. Coincidence? Not. It's not. They received this information from their ancestors. What is the purpose of a flood? We read in chapter 6, and we studied in chapter 6, verse 5 through 13, man's wickedness, man's violence reached to heaven. And God said, enough is enough, and he's going to draw the line. He's going to destroy these people and take care of them. And he's going to start a brand new beginning. Now, I have a typology about the Noah's Ark and the Jesus. The Ark is illuminating the picture of our salvation in Christ according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. I'm going to ask you to write it down and take a look at it, please. And salvation and the ark was planned by God, not invented by man. There is only one way to the salvation. That's through Jesus Christ and accepting him as his Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 14, 6, says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And there is only one way to get into this boat, through the ark door, on the side door. The ark was made out of wood. And in the Bible, wood represents humanity. Jesus became a man to take our sin, become an atoning sacrifice to save us. The word pitch is mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, 14. It is waterproof element. He put the pitch inside and outside the boat. The pitch is mentioned in the Old Testament as the same thing as atonement. And as the pitch stopped the water coming, seeping into the boat, at the same time, the atoning sacrifice set us free from the sin coming into our spiritual life and damnation and destiny. Ark saved Noah's family and his family and from judgment, and because they believed God's promise. If you read Hebrews 11:17, you will also find it. As the world buried the old world, but raised Noah into new life, it connects with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for us, and he rose again to give us new life. Noah went out of the ark as the head of the new creation with his family. Jesus came out of the tomb as the head of the new resurrection, new creation. Just as Enoch was raptured before the judgment came, the church will raptured before the wrath of God is poured out upon the world. See the, how it connects? It is important for us to understand that this is more than just floating Zeus story. There's a prophetic side of the Noah's Ark and its flood. Christ teaches us the days before the rapture and tribulation will be like the days of Noah, filled with violence, filled with wickedness. If you don't agree, just look at, watch the 6 o'clock news or 10 o'clock news or CNN and Fox News report. There's a whole country is filled, whole world is filled with violence. I don't think I have to name those things to you because you already know. Same time, it's not only the days of Noah, it's the days of witness. Folks, this is the greatest time any man can, any believer can live. This is the opportunity time. We can spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all anyone around us. Let them know. As the Enoch warned people about the coming judgment, and Noah preached while he was building the ark for 120 years, he talked about the coming judgment. People didn't listen. You might face the same thing at work. You talk about Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and they brushed you off. And they look at you as like, yeah, you're an idiot. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're not an idiot because you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are children of God. Take a pride in it. Let's continue in verse 1 of chapter 8. Then God remembered Noah and every living things and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the water subside. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from the heaven was restrained. And the water receded continually from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, waters decreased. Then the ark rested on the 7th month and 17th day of the month in the mountain of Ararat. And the water decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month on the 1st day of the month, top of the mountain was seen. It is not, it's like almost, it sounds like a God remembered Noah. It's like a God forgot about Noah. God never forget anything. He doesn't have a GVM syndrome. You know what the GVM syndrome is? It's a Green Valley moment syndrome. I have a lot of problem with that. Every day. Why do you think I carry palm and write down everything down on the palm? God doesn't have a problem. But we do. We forget things, but God never forgets. When you pray to God for some certain things, you can guarantee that He heard you. Amen. Will He do according to your way? No, He doesn't. I cannot guarantee you He will do according to your way, but He will do according to His way, which is good for you. By the way, what was I going to talk about? God brought a big hair blow dry, and He's starting to dry up all these things. Now let's continue in verse 6. So it came to pass at the end of the 40 days, and Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going and to and fro until the water had dried up from the earth. He underlined the place, verse 7. The raven was going back and fro. And he also sent out from himself a dove to see if the water has receded from the face of the ground. But the dove, underline next verse, please. The dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him. Underline that one, please. For the water were on the face of the earth, whole earth, and so he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited for yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. And dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. No one knew that the water was received from the earth. And so he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. What do you know? The Noah found had new hobby. This is a bird watching hobby. Why did the raven didn't come back? Let's think about the nature of raven. What does the raven eat? Decayed flesh, dead flesh. So to raven, this is a banquet table. All the floating carcass and the elephant and giraffe and all these things, flesh just land on top of the elephant, start to peck. Why go anywhere? Scriptures tells us, Old Testament tells us, that the raven is considered as an unclean animal. What does it mean? What's that got to do with us? See, it's easy for us to get into the world because we have a sinful nature built in. We can enjoy the carcass, spiritual carcass. We can enjoy the spiritual, the unclean things and stay there forever. What would be the end life? What is the result of that? You sow into the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. Amen. It will be disastrous. However, dove is a different case. In the Old, according to Old Testament, dove is considered a clean animal. It did not find a resting place for her to rest. So it came back. You know what that's like? That's us, the believers in Jesus Christ. We should not find any resting place in the world. Turn your Bible with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John, way in the back. Right after 2 Peter. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Got that? Do not love the world or things in the world. Next one is a punchline. Memorize this verse, please. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Amen. Let's read that portion all together. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. I've been saying this for a long time. Either you're for God or you're against God. Amen. There's no gray area. Either you love the world or follow the world, or you love God and follow him. Amen. Verse 13 of chapter 8, Genesis again, please. And it came to pass the 600th first year, in the first month, first day of the month, and the water was dried up from the earth. And the Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. In the second month, in the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, and you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing, all the flesh that is with you, bird and cattle, every creeping thing that creeps on the ground, on the earth, so that they may around the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. How many days that Noah was inside of the ark? 40 days and 40 nights, right? No, more than a year. More than a year. Can you imagine stench? If you think you have a bad smell around the place you live, boy, this is not a good place to live. Just a side note, Titanic was built by a professional. Noah's Ark was built by an amateur. Guess which one is still floating? Guess which one was sunk? It's not by man's power, it's by the power of God. Verse 20. Then Noah built an ark to the Lord and took all, every clean animal and every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Folks, let's pay attention to the first, very important thing. What is the first thing he did when he walked out from the ark? Did he kiss the ground and start to stretch his legs and start run around the blocks? No, he didn't do that. The first thing he did, he built an altar to the Lord. In gratitude of God's deliverance, gratitude of God's love, admiration, that's what he's doing. He's worshiping God. I think God likes barbecue, don't you? He likes the smell of the beef. It's more pleasing to him that it's not the smell of burning flesh. Do you know what he liked? Complete obedience of the Noah's heart. Amen. Let's make a couple, three applications. Number one, we must remember that God gives plenty of warnings, but eventually his patience ends and judgment comes. If you've been sitting here and listening to my teaching and you don't know Jesus Christ and you are not been living for Christ, consider it as a warning. His patience will sometime end. And he said, enough is enough. And he will shut the door. Do you want to take that chance? I hope you don't. That's my earnest prayer, that you don't take that chance. Number two, true faith in God leads to the obedience to him. I don't think I have to explain that to you. Third, true witness of Jesus Christ demands separation from the sins of the world. As I said before, if anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Either you're for him, you're against him. Let's stand up and pray.